start of Parsha Kisi, so at the very, very beginning of the Parsha, it says, Machtis HaShakel was given over. When you count B'nai Yisrael according to their numbers, each person should give a redemption of his soul when they're counted. And that way there won't be any plagues when they're being counted. Now, the Medrash says, and brought down by Rashi, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand what a Machzeh Shekel looked like. He mamash had no idea what it looked like. He couldn't understand what it was. The Pasuk says, Zeyitnu, this you should give, Kol Over Alav Kudim, everybody who passes by, you know, in their numbers. Machzeh Shekel B'Shekel HaKadosh. Rashi says, Haralo Kimin Mabeah Shalesh, he showed him a coin of fire, says Rashi. Mishkal Machzeh Shekel B'Omelo Kezeh Yitnu. You have to go on and take that. Now, Rashi is quoting from the Medrash Rabbah. But the Medrash Rabbah adds on something. Medrash Rabbah adds on that it was given from underneath mitachas kisei hakavod. He took a machzeh shekel from underneath the kisei hakavod, a coin of fire, and he showed it over to Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is, why in the world would you need that over anything else? And here's the pshat, guys. We're going to see from the Egel Azov itself. The Egel Azov was not just stam. The Ramban says that after Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, they needed something that they felt would help them in the midbar, in the desert. Now, on that, you need midas hadin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want the midas hadin, the strict judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to help you out, to tell you what to do. So they looked toward the left side of the Kisei HaKavod. We don't know what left and right means, but the left side of the Kisei HaKavod, which is the shore, an axe, which was supposed to represent midas hadin of God goring, so to speak, what never needs to be done, punishing, and putting in those types of things, that midas hadin, and they created a creature based on that midas hadin. That's what the Ramban says. Instead of it being on the right hand side, what's on the right hand side? Adam, which is looks like Yaakov Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, which is Chesed. No. He looked up and he saw, the Bnei Yisrael saw what was on there. So the Ramban says that they looked up, they saw that they no longer work through admiration, they no longer have Chesed because Moshe Rabbeinu is dead. They went to the left side of the Kisei HaKavod to meet us, and then and said, okay, let's make a shore. And that was what the Egel Azov was. Shat. So here's the idea. The Machtis HaShekel is a kapara for the Egel Azov. Brings down the Chsam Sofer. The reason why it's such a kapara is because where did they get the idea of the Egel Azov from? From the Kisei HaKavod, that throne. So where did he take the coin out of? Underneath the Kisei HaKavod. That was supposed to be the kapara for Bnei Yisrael. So to speak, that's supposed to be the idea of how they were going to be machaper, the chait of something that was on the Kisei HaKavod. He took out something from underneath the Kisei HaKavod. Now, what's the connection? Granted, that's good. One is on the Kisei HaKavod, one is underneath the Kisei HaKavod. I get that. That makes, you know, that's good. And it says the word Zeh. Zeh Yitnu Kol Over Alav Pekudim. And by the Egel Azov, it says, Ki Zeh Moshe Ish Lo Yadanu Vehayalo. What's the connection? What's the connection between these Zehs and what does that mean? So here is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says the following. Okay, let's be very careful with this. Zeh Yitnu Kol Over Alav Pekudim. This you should give. Whenever the word Zeh or Zos appears in the Chumash, it refers to something that you can point at. Zeh is what you do. You point it up every single time. Yes, every single time. When Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand which animals were kosher and which ones were not kosher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Zeh, this is the one. When Moshe Rabbeinu had a suffix about what the new moon was, what does it mean by the new moon and what does it mean when it pulls up in the sky? He was shown in the sky, because Zeh, Mikadosh. This is what you have to be Mikadosh. Each time it says the word Zeh, it refers to something that you can point at. That's what it's supposed to be. So here's the idea. What's the whole daw? Min hataina. When you want to admit to something, from the claim that somebody's making a claim against you, you want to admit to it. We say, Ki hu zeh. Ki hu zeh is the pasuk. This is the claim that they have. Now, here's the pshat. They saw Moshe Rabbeinu dead on top of the mountain, right? Ki zeh, Moshe Ish, lo yadana mehanilo. That man, Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't know what happened to him, right? We have no idea what happened to him. Right? He looks like he's dead. They didn't understand it whatsoever. Here's the pshat. If Bnei Yisrael had known the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu and how unreal Moshe Rabbeinu was, that he was almost like, he was the greatest human being. being to have ever lived, had they known that, they never would have asked for someone else to take his place. How can you ask someone to take over for Moshe Rabbeinu? Who can take over for Moshe Rabbeinu? But they thought they saw Moshe. They thought they understood Moshe Rabbeinu. Hey, we also were at Matan Torah, right? We also were at Kriyas Yam Suf. We were involved in the Mitzrayim. We were involved in that. They thought they understood him. So they looked up at him and said, Ki zeh Moshe Ha'ish. We think we understand Moshe the man. He seems to be a normal guy. Just like me and you, Kobe. He was just like me and you. He's a normal guy. So they thought that if they understood him, they could ask for a replacement for him. That's what they understood. The Machzis HaShekel was a pure kapara for that concept, and this was the sin. The sin was they thought they knew who Moshe Rabbeinu was, and they had no idea. They had no idea how great Moshe Rabbeinu was. They had no idea how unreal Moshe Rabbeinu was. They had no clue. So here's a shot. The Machzis HaShekel was something that you cannot imagine. It was a fiery coin that came from underneath the Kisei HaKavod. So what they did was Kizayitnu. That's Zayitnu Kol Over Lapkudin. This is what you should give. You should take something that you don't fully understand, make it into a coin. You think you understand it because it's right there, but it came from the Kisei HaKavod. It came from underneath the Kisei HaKavod. It's a fiery coin from the middle of nowhere. This is what we say. You don't understand the Machzis HaShekel. My friends, you don't understand Moshe Rabbeinu himself either. That's the Zeh and the Zeh. That's the pshat behind it. Very, very good. Yes, Shkayach. Okay, here we go. The matzahs of B'nai Yisrael is our next thing that we have to go into. Here is a really, really crazy thing. It says the following. Okay. I want you to put yourself in the situation that B'nai Yisrael were in at the time of the Egel Azov. Okay, I want you to put yourself in that matzah. 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60. Okay? That's not including young kids. Doesn't include women. Any woman. Doesn't include older men over the age of 60 either. We're talking about 3 to 3.5 million people. Okay, we're talking 3 or 3.5 million people in a desert, in the middle of nowhere. They have no idea where they are. They're in the Sinai Peninsula. They're surrounded. They're on the bottom of the Sinai Peninsula. There is no land anywhere near them. There's the Red Sea on one side, the Red Sea on the other side, two parts of the Red Sea there. They have the Indian Ocean right down in the bottom. And in order to travel to the nearest area where anyone was living, they had to get through a huge, huge desert. With 3.5 million people, including kids and women and older men. I want you to think for one second. They had no food, no drink. What was the food that they had? The mun. And they knew that the mun came to them in the schus of who? He was married, the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. All of a sudden, they see that Moshe Rabbeinu is dead. They have no idea why. They don't know what happened. They don't have a clue. They had no idea what to do. You can't just sit back, relax, and say, we'll wait until tomorrow. I'm sure everything will be okay tomorrow. What do you wait until tomorrow? We're in the middle of a desert with little kids. You can't do that. We have babies. We have mothers. What are we going to do? We're going to fast in the middle of the desert? And you know how it is. When you get hungry, you're hungry. When you realize you're not going to have any food tomorrow, you're hungry. And they started saying to themselves, we need something now. Not 8 hours from now. Not a day from now. Not let's see what happens tomorrow. No, it would be foolish. It would be a sakanas nefashos for 3.5 million people to wait around and do absolutely nothing. Says Yaakov Kamenetsky, when people say, well, it was only 40 days after Matan Torah, what they don't understand is put yourself in that position. We know it's a Gemara, Dikduki Anius. It's a Gemara in Erevin, Memal from a base. Dikduki Anius, when people are really poor, Mavirus Adamal Daitel Vadaskono. It makes people lose their minds. They don't think about what they're doing. They do anything they can in order to get what they need. They don't care. Normally they would never steal. If you're in Dikduki Anius and you're starving and your kids are suffering, you'll do anything. Yes. Nothing. I mean, all they had was the mun, and it came every morning. But they thought Moshe Rabbeinu was dead now. They thought it's over. They're getting no mun tomorrow morning. So they had nothing left over. Sorry? They didn't know that. They had no idea. They were looking at Moshe Rabbeinu. They had no idea what was happening.
He just laid down.
And what they saw was his body dead. They saw his body up in Shemayim, and they thought that that was that. Tiktuki Anius means the little bits of that, like mamish being to the poorest of the poor. That's what we're going to call it. I don't have a good word for it in English. But that was the biggest problem by far. It would make anyone crazy. And what are you going to do about your kids? They were scared. They mamish had no idea what to do. So Hur got up there and he told them, guys, just wait a day. And they said to Hur, you are a mashchis. you're a rodent. You're killing us. We wait. We can't wait. We're in a desert. We won't survive. We won't be able to survive a day. Even if one of us goes to get some food from Edom or whatever it is, goes up, you know, a couple days, and then comes back. By that time, everyone's dead. Everyone will be dead. They said, we need a God right now. We need somebody in charge of us right now. Some way of getting a hold of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell us what we're supposed to do. We don't know what to do. So Hor got down and said that. They immediately killed him. Immediately killed him. Because they looked at him and said, how in the world could you tell us to do that? Aaron was scared out of his mind. So he did the only thing that was possible. He said, okay, we are going to make a God for you guys. We're going to make a God. This is all Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. It's brilliant. But we're going to make a God for you guys. We'll make something for you so you guys will be able to survive. Remember, it wasn't all of Bnei Yisrael, but it was a lot of people in Bnei Yisrael. 600 or 3,000 people, which is already a crazy amount of people altogether in all of the Erev Rav. There were 1.2 million people in the Erev Rav altogether. And Aaron told them, you know what? Gather your gold.
This is Parshas.
Gather your gold. Parshas Kisisa. They gathered the gold. They gathered the gold. And they did it. It wasn't like he told them, go get the gold from everywhere you can. They didn't wait to go back home to their wives and their kids. They grabbed gold off their ears like immediately. They're willing to do anything to save their kids. They're willing to do anything. They grabbed gold. They took all the gold off themselves. They threw it down. We don't care about the gold. We need to eat. We need food. We need drink. We need something. They immediately threw it in front of Aaron. That's what Aaron didn't expect. And Aaron understood they were scared out of their mind. So Moshe Rabbeinu came down and said, Aaron, what did you do? He's like, you know these people. They went crazy. It's just a nutty situation. I don't know how anybody would have been able to survive that. I'm sorry? Don't worry, wait a day. Moshe Rabbeinu will come down eventually. They said, we can't wait a day. They killed him right there. They had to.
Why wasn't Aaron scared?
Why what?
Why wasn't Aaron scared?
Aaron himself was scared, obviously, but he understood that there was just a mess up here. He understood that nothing was going to happen. He would have gotten a nevuah. Somebody would have gotten a nevuah. It's not going to end. But you can't convince people of that. Like, Aaron was just like, guys, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay.
He just took his time to try and just did all this stuff. Like, come on.
Listen.
Let's give it a day.
Let's call a spade a spade. What was the major sin of the Ego Azov? What was the big problem? It was a lack of bitachon. They didn't trust God. You can't really blame them.
Serving a different God.
Yeah, no. It wasn't because they used it as a leader of a way of getting a hold of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a way, it could be Shituf, which might have been a problem altogether. You're right that it could have been like that. But the reason why it all started in the first place, why it all got out there, was it was a lack of bitachon. That's all it was. It was a lack of bitachon. You still look like a leprechaun. You still look like one. There you go. But it was a lack of bitachon. It was a lack of trust. You didn't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You didn't believe in anything. How in the world could you have done this 40 days after? But the truth is, I don't know if any of us would have survived that test. I really have no idea what you guys would have done in that situation. I don't know what I would have done in that situation. I've got 5 kids to feed. I have no idea where I'm getting bread tomorrow morning. I've got nothing. Granted, I have a few animals, but I have nothing to drink. I don't know what to do. And yeah, the waters of Miriam might have been around there, but this is where Yaakov's chiddush is. Chiddush is that the people weren't seeing things clearly. They're seeing things as like, we don't know. They're the Be'er Miriam. Yes, but they... No, not that we know of. Not by Sinai.
Because then they put a lot of people drink from the ashes and then everyone died.
What, the Be'er Shel Miriam? They mixed in the golden pieces. Yeah, mixed in together with the water to check them like sotas if they had any thoughts of the Eagle Azov. And if they did, the thoughts of the Eagle Azov, then the gold made them blow up. So that's what it was.
So what they were doing wasn't like just shaming what it's are, then they were doing.
No, they were doing it as a leader. They needed it. They didn't know what to do. That was just Kiddush Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky that you just
said.
It was because it was a lack of bitachon. I said, I want you to know, at the very, very end of the day, it says the following, Yechezkel Chof Yud Gimel. It says, Vayamru bi b'nei Yisrael b'mipor. B'nei Yisrael rebelled against me in the desert. Ves shab sasai chalolu me'od. And they were mechavol Shabbos very, very much. When were they mechavol Shabbos? They were mechavol Shabbos by the Mekoshe Shaitim. One guy went out to collect wood on Shabbos. One guy. They were mechavol Shabbos by Dustin and Aviram going out to look for the mun on Shabbos. Now, two guys. What does it mean? You all were mechavol Shabbos. The pshat is, what's the point of chilul Shabbos? Point of chilul Shabbos is a lack of bitachon. Why do you work on Shabbos? What are you working for on Shabbos? Because you're worried. If I don't work on Shabbos, I'm not going to make any money. That's a lack of bitachon. That lack of bitachon of chilul Shabbos is the shiva. It's the exact same thing as the Eagle Azov. That's exactly what Eidol HaZav was. This is the pshat, says the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that the whole Siba behind the Eidol HaZav was a lack of bitachon, which is what it meant by you were mechallel Shabbos. What was the other time that God wanted to kill Bnei Yisrael? The Eidol HaZav, God said, I want to kill everybody. Give me one other time when God said, I want to kill everyone. I'm done with them. I'm sorry? No. During the Midbar. He didn't want to kill them.
No?
He didn't want to kill them. By what? Kibros HaTaiva. No. The Mishonim and the Abu Taiva was not it. The Meraglim. It's Yechezkel, Chaf, Yud Gimel. By the Meraglim. He got up on the Meraglim and he said, they're all dead. Every single one of them is dead. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to give another Yud Gimel Midas Arachmel. Though he didn't say all 13. He said 7 of them. But he went out and he tried to save Bnei Yisrael. What's the problem? Because the Meraglim was the exact same height. It was a chait of chosur bitachon. They lost bitachon. They didn't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring them there to Israel and beat them. Yeah, 100%. But it's still a lack of bitachon. So the lack of bitachon was there by the ego. The lack of bitachon was there by the Meraglim. And that's what Yechezkel was saying. By Yamru bi bnei Yisrael b'midbar, that's shapsel saicha lalu me'od. They were mechalu ma'ashavasos. So that's the concept behind that lack of bitachon. They didn't have that. Okay, that was number three. Number four. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be in Milan. It's close to bnei Yisrael. When he first came down from the one of the most unbelievable conversations. It's very hard to understand this conversation. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to go down, right? By Yifen, by Yerid Moshe Minahor. Moshe Rabbeinu turned his back on God. It says it straight out, by Yifen. It doesn't say, you know how you normally walk away from like a very, very hush of a person, you walk backward, right? Shemona Asri, you take 3 steps back. Moshe Rabbeinu turned his body and ran down when Kadosh Baruch Hu told him what was going on. He knew that something bad was going on. Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu already told him, I want you to kill them. And he said, no, please, Lama Hashem Yechor Apcha Be'amecha, Asher Otzei Samer Tzayim, Lama Yomru Mitzrayim Leimor Barot, Yom Haru Gosam Baharim L'chalotam Me'apnei Adama, Shuv Mecharon Apecha V'yinakem L'arol Amecha. Right, that's the thing. It's Zachor L'Avram L'Yisrael Yaakov, the whole psukim. He turned away from God and ran down. Now listen to what happens. He has the luchos in his hands. By Yishma Yoshua, Yoshua is sitting on the bottom of the mountain. By Yishma Yoshua is Kola Ambareo. He heard all the people screaming out loud. Because it was early in the morning, the people were doing something with the Eidol HaZav. By Yomer HaMoshe, he said to Moshe, Kol Milchama V'machaneh, I hear the voice of war in the camp. Voice of war. Now listen to this pasuk. By Yomer, in Kol Anos Gvura, in Kol Anos Chalusha, there's no strong voice, there's no weak voice. Seemingly, and that's why you know it's not a war, because usually there's one, you know, people are defeating another people. Kol Anos Anochi Shomea, I hear just people screaming. What does that have to do with anything? And then Vayikasher Karval Machne, he came to the Machne, Vayaras the Eagle Mahos, he saw the Eagle, Vayikarap Moshe, he got angry, he asked him the others the Luchos, he threw down the Luchos. Shabbosom Tachasahor, he broke them underneath the mountain. You knew what they did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told you what they did. It says straight out. It says, Kishiche Samcha, Sorumahir Minaderech, Asulam Eagle Masecha. What in the world? All of a sudden he looks down at them and you heard.
He either runs to see himself.
That's a good call. Just what's the difference between seeing and hearing it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Here's the pshat. The Barbanel asks exactly this. Why would he bring down the luchos in order to break them? Why bother bring them down? You knew they messed up. So why would you bother bringing them down in order to break them? So the Barbanel says, so they see it and realize they had done something wrong. Moshe Benu purposely took the luchos and threw them down in front of Bnei Yisrael so that Bnei Yisrael would be shocked. And they'd sit there and be like, oh my gosh, we didn't realize, Moshe Benu, you're right, we're all wrong. The wording in the pasuk doesn't seem that way. If you look at the pasuk, it says, Vayichar af Moshe Vayashku Yad of Zeluchos. He got angry, and that's when he threw down the luchos. It doesn't look like he was doing it to make sure that Bnei Yisrael knew, to shock Bnei Yisrael. It sounds like he went down thinking to be able to keep the luchos. He'd be able to keep the luchos, and this happened. What's pshat? So it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu was Malamed Tzchosam Bnei Yisrael. This is again Rabbi Yaakov. It's Malamed Tzchosam Bnei Yisrael. Maybe it was a great sign for them. Granted, Moshe Rabbeinu understood there were a bunch of people in the desert, and he understood what Rabbi Yaakov was saying. In the desert, they're starving. They don't know where they're going to get their food from the next day, and they're scared. So I understand. Maybe that's what they did. So they did it because they felt they needed a leader. So what do? So Moshe Rabbeinu assumed the Koshi with a heavy heart and a lowered head. They said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't know what to do. We're going to have something. And they made an Eidol HaZav because they felt they had to. And that's their thinking. They're like, oh, hey, we have no other choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to have to do it. That's what he's trying to do. Well, that's my next question. Hold on.
I didn't answer the question.
So then, but when he came down, Moshe Rabbeinu, and he looks at the dancing, and looks at how besimcha they are, how they're dancing around and sacrificing and having a great time. He looks at them and says, you didn't do this because you felt you had to. You did this because you wanted to. That's why you ended up doing this. Right in the beginning, you might have had thoughts of you're scared or whatever it is. But look at you now. It's only been 12 hours, guys. It was 12 p.m. Oh, it might have been a little bit more than that. It might have been about 18 hours. It was 12 p.m. Chatzos, right, when they first thought of making the Egel Azov. It took an hour or two, maybe 3 hours, 4 hours, and the Egel Azov was made, however long it took, right? It's like 4 or 5 p.m. Aaron gets up and he says, tomorrow we're going to have a chag for Hashem. They got up early in the morning to start worshiping it. The Egel hasn't even been around for 14 hours. You guys are dancing and singing and going all crazy. You didn't even wait for Aaron to wake up. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? At that point, that's what got him so angry. And that's the Shmi HaSakol, that's what he's saying. Yoshua thought that the Bnei Yisrael were fighting with one another. He knew about the Eagles. I don't know how Yoshua would have known about it, but Yoshua himself was a Navi as well. Yoshua knew something was going on, and he said, oh, Baruch Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, there's fighting in the camp. Shevet Levi is getting up and killing the people who were worshipping Avodah Zarah, those who had made the Egel Azov. Said he heard the noises, and he's like, oh wow, Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a war in the camp. People are standing up for the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're killing the Erev Rav. They're killing the Erev Rav right now. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's not what I hear. I hear people that are having a party. I don't know what you're listening to, Yoshua, but I hear something different. And although Moshe Rabbeinu at that point had the luchos, thinking like Yoshua did, being melamed zchus of Bnei Yisrael, it's a war. There were people that messed up, but they were being killed. That's what he thought. He looked out and he saw how happy they were. He saw people standing on the side, not doing anything, but standing, watching, being okay with it. And that's when he said, absolutely not. That's when he threw down the luchos. He was so angry at Bnei Yisrael for doing such a thing. That's the idea behind what he saw. And now we're going to ask your question, yes. Your question, which is a powerful question. Why in the world wouldn't they have asked Aaron over anybody else? Okay, here's the deal. There's a Chasam Sofer. Ki boshesh Moshe. Moshe came 6 hours later. So the Gemara says that the Satan darkened the world. Darkened the whole world, said it became dark as anything, so they couldn't see anything at all. And he showed Moshe on a bed as if he was dead up in Shemayim. And they pointed at Moshe Rabbeinu, who was looking as if he was dead. It was a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu in Shemayim. They pointed at him and said, Kizem Moshe Aish. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Kihilu in the clouds. Question number one, why did the Satan have to darken the world? That's number one. Okay, I know it sounds more ominous that way, right? But it's not the point of the Medrash. Why would he have to darken the world? Number two, Lo Yadanu Mehayelo. We don't know what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. We know exactly what happened to him. Lo Yadanu Mehayelo. We don't know what happened to him. You look at him. He died. Okay, we don't know why it happened. That should have been your question. Lo Yadanu Lama Hayelo. Okay, that I hear. That's a powerful question. But Mehayelo, what happened to him? He's clearly right there. Question number two. Okay. Question number three. Said Moshe, Kizem Moshe Ish, Asher Alanu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. This Moshe, the man that brought us out from Eretz Mitzrayim. Hold on a second. That brought us out from Eretz Mitzrayim. How about gave us the Torah 40 days ago? How about this Moshe Rabbeinu who went up to Shemayim? Who went up to Shemayim to talk to God for 39 and a half days? How about that? What in the world is going on here? Plus, and the question number four is really, why not make Aaron the king? Now that everybody's born, as you just said, yes. Why not make Aaron the king? Aaron should be the next in line. He was the next to greatest person. He was the leader before Moshe Rabbeinu came. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu was only been with these people. He was leader with Moshe Rabbeinu when he was around. But think, Aaron was the king of Bnei Yisrael since Amram died. Moshe Rabbeinu has been around for a year and a month. That's all it was. He came by Nisan the previous year. The Mako started on Rosh Hashanah. Mako started right down Rosh Hashanah according to Ramban, right? And they left in Nisan, and this is Sivan. He's been there for a year and a month. That's all he's been there for. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, we don't have any leader. We can't do anything anymore. You have Aaron right there. He was your old Rosh Hashiva. He was the old guy in charge. You were fine with him. You were fine with him. You knew he was a Navi, and he accepted Moshe Rabbeinu, and everything was all good. Why not go back to Aaron? So here's Pshat. Bnei Yisrael never believed that Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. This is a Chasam Sofer, classic Chasam Sofer. Bnei Yisrael never believed Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. They looked up and they saw Moshe Rabbeinu's coffin, but they're like, this is a trick. The Erev Rav were all magicians from Egypt. and they knew that they had power. These guys were magicians. Jonas and Jambus, the two sons of Bilam, a part of the Erevah. These guys are magicians. They understood it. But we don't know what happened. We don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is because we don't know what happened to him. Lo yadanu meh hayalo. We see the grave. Is that Moshe Ish? I understand that's Moshe Rabbeinu right there. That's a picture of him. But lo yadanu meh hayalo. We don't know if that's real, if that's not. We don't know what that's referring to. We have no idea what to do, but he is supposed to be down. Boshesh. It's the sixth hour of the day. He's supposed to be here right now. We don't know where he is. So they thought back to themselves. They said, you know what? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu really does. He doesn't have that connection with God like we thought he had. Maybe he messes up. Sure, Moshe Rabbeinu might come down eventually. But he told us he'd be back in 40 days. And they waited 40 days from the sixth hour of the day when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, because Matan Torah was in the beginning of the day. He went up in the middle of the day. They waited 40 days from then. And that was supposed to be Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, or Tes Zayin Tammuz, really. They assumed he'd be back, and they were wrong. Why were they wrong? He didn't count those first 6 hours. You don't count until the night. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu went up in the middle of the day, you don't count until the night, right? You have to have 40 full days. That's why he came back, and technically the 41st day, which is Yud Zayin Tammuz. You can do the Cheshbon yourself. You can look up Zayin Sivan, right, and do a Cheshbon from Sivan Tammuz and figure out how many days it was. But it's there. It's all together. His 41st day was there. So they looked up and they just didn't understand. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know what to do. And they looked at it and they said, "What, Moshe Rabbeinu, how could you mess up that badly?" And then they remembered something. Remember what Moshe Rabbeinu said when he talked about Makkos Bechoros? What was the word he used when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, "Kehatzos"? Now what did they assume? They assumed that Moshe Rabbeinu really did know what Chatzos was. Rabbeinu said, "Kehatzos," because, I don't know, to fool the Egyptian magicians. The Egyptian magicians might not know. Maybe they said, "Kehatzos," because of whatever, right? But now they're looking at it and they're like, does Moshe Rabbeinu not know time? How is it that you're with that Kadosh Baruch Hu and you don't know what time it is? I mean, God would know, right? Then they looked at him and they said, maybe when he said Kichatzos, it's because he wasn't working through God. Because God would know what time he's supposed to be down. Maybe he was working through some type of Kishuv. And maybe just like we're seeing, this looks pretty real. This looks pretty real, Moshe Rabbeinu's dead body over here. If this looks pretty real, maybe everything we've seen up until now, maybe that was also faked. Yeah, I know it was 39 days ago that we saw Matan Torah. I know we saw Kriyas Yam Sof. I know we saw some crazy things. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu's just a great magician. And now he's just off in time. That's when doubts started seeping in. Doubts are not enough to change you completely. But here's Pshat. That's the Choshech. The Satan made it cloudy. The Satan made it dark. The Satan gave them doubts. And once you start getting doubts, you're not convinced yet. But you're looking at it and you're like, wait a second, I just don't get it. So Aaron would just be a continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu. They don't want Moshe Rabbeinu in it anymore. They don't want a human being who is fallible and can make mistakes and won't give them the right time and people that will screw it up. That they don't want. They want a God. A real idol that won't mess things up. That's the idea of what they came to. That was what they wanted. So that answers all the questions. Why Choshech? Confusion. Lo yedanu meh hayalo? They didn't know what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't believe that he actually was dead. They just thought he messed up. Number three, that brought us out from Eretz Mitzrayim. They started looking back at him. They said, you know what? Maybe the whole thing in Mitzrayim. Maybe he's just a machashev, just like everyone else. He's just the greatest magician of all time. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's just the greatest magician. And that's why not Aaron as well. Yeah, what?
Moshe,
they didn't know. You know, honestly, no, it wasn't Moshe. They saw it as like a work of magic. They just, yeah, from the Satan, but they thought it was the Erev Rav. They're looking from the Erev Rav, they're like, the Erev Rav are messing things up. They weren't going to make the Erev Rav in charge, but they didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu in charge anymore either. They just didn't want a human being. They're done with human beings. Let's go for an idol. Idols don't mess up. That was their idea. That's the concept of what they came up with. Yeah.
I know, like, some of the, they thought Moshe was so great, and once Moshe couldn't do it, so there's no reason to try anybody else. Is it the same idea or is it a different idea?
It's somewhat the same. Can't exactly say it's the same. Yeah, whatever. It's somewhat the same. They didn't want another human being. That's the point. They didn't want another human being. They wanted something different. I'm going to end off with this, guys. He's that Moshe Ha'ish. I said this on Perm for those who overheard it. I did say this on Perm. I said men are greater than women. You know why men are greater than women? Do you remember it?
I love
that. La'ihudim ha'isa ho'ira. First letter is? Simcha and Sason, first letter is. Right? And then V'yakor. Yakor, first letter is. Yud. That's Aleph Yud Shin. Ish. Like, you know what's Aira, Simcha, Sason, V'yakor. I know it's out of order, but it's Aleph Yud Shin. It's Ish. Right? That's an Ish. Isha comes in the letters Lahashmid, Laharog, Ulaabed. Okay? The letters, not the Lamed, take out the Lamed and the Vav, right? Take out the prefixes. Hashmed, the Shmad, right? Shmad is Shin, Harag, and Ovad, Abed. Lahashmid, Laharog, Ulaabed is a Hey, Shin, and Aleph. That stands for
Isha,
all together. So a man is Midas a Chesed, a woman is Midas a Din. Okay, woman is mean as a din. Listen to this Chassam Sofer. He says the following. The Bnei Yisrael looked up, and they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. And they said, the avoda of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was to work b'simcha, to be happy, to work with love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is no longer with us. We now need something harsher. No longer is the chesed of Hashem with us. We need midas hadin, as we started off the whole shir with. We need midas hadin, the left side of the Maisa Merkava, the left side of the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was a shore, the shore in the Merkava. So that we need b'chinas isha, shmad, harag, and abed. That's called midas nukva, like Haman in the Purim story. Tell me, guys. 48 Nevi'im. I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll call that. 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os got up for Klal Yisrael. And hundreds of others, right? Could they get them to make them do tshuva? Were they able to do tshuva from that? No. Who was able to make Bnei Yisrael do tshuva? Haman. He's the true hero of the Purim story. Right? Sometimes Bnei Yisrael do not get affected by the love. Sometimes they only get affected by punching them in the face and saying, you better do this or you're going to be killed. Sometimes you need Midas Adin. They thought they needed a Haman. They needed not a Moshe Rabbeinu, not an Aaron. They couldn't go with Chesed or Ava or things like that. It wasn't working. Because look what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu died. He doesn't deserve to be our leader. He shouldn't be our leader. Instead, we need something through a Midas Adin. Did Bnei Yisrael deserve to be saved by Purim until they did Tshuva? So how did they save themselves in the end? They did tshuva, but how did they do tshuva? How many days?
3 days.
Can you imagine everybody fasting for 3 days?
No.
Can you imagine fasting for 2 days?
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. No, it's only you, though. For 2 or 3 days, 3 days they fasted. That 3 days, men, women, children, and animals, everyone fasted for 3 days.
It's a feast. That's why.
What do you mean?
Because, like, when they would...
Oh, because they felt it right there? No, I'm not...
No, right. Like, not, they probably saw the Garris, like, it was probably in the paper.
What happened about Hanukkah?
Like, 200 days countdown until we...
What about about Hanukkah?
What?
Hanukkah didn't happen. Hanukkah, they felt the love. They felt an embrace. They felt the Kaddish Baruch Hu doing things for them. Here, they didn't feel it. That's why the Gula occurred, not through a man, but through a woman. She had to get up, Esther. And I know there's also Yehudas, you know, involved in the Hanukkah story. There's also Mordechai over here. But the woman was part of this geula because he needed Midas Hadin in the times of Purim. He needed something harsh, the 72 letters, 72 hours. Tell me, 24 plus 24 plus 24 is what?
72.
What's the gematria of 72?
Chesed.
To get the Chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's supposed to be. That's the concept behind it. That's unbelievable. Chasodecha, by the way. Chasodecha, your Chesed. Gematria of?
92.
No. 10 more. 10 more.
102.
102. Single Ash is to see. I just wanted to point that out. What? That's regardless. That's why they didn't want Aaron to lead them after Moshe. Where, continue in the ways of Ish.
Where did the thing come from?
This is Yud.
That's if you spell it Malay.
Yeah. It's spelled Malay. Look at your sitter, guys, by Modim. Chasodecha. I'm just telling you why the greatness of Tzvi is out there. It's not that Yaakov isn't bad either. 182 is also a very good number. 102 is better. And now is the time for Isha. That's the concept of what they wanted to do. That was the idea of the Isha versus the Ish.